His right arm. My brother Dan went through his whole life having lost his arm at 7 months old. Happened May 20th, 1950. So it was, well, how many years would that be? 70, 60, long time ago. Happened. I just happened to notice that on the calendar. I was thinking, man, last night also, golly, the passage of time, 40 years, 30 years. Anybody out there, raise your hand and say, man, no kidding, coach. Time is just flying by on all of us. And it's so easy to get trapped into the spectrum of where we are now and the here and now and what's happening here and now and the end of days and all that stuff. And it's so hard for us to be able to try to communicate that with others, believers, and not get wrapped up. And see, there's like two, maybe three different groups. There's those whose minds are totally on the heavenly realm and looking for the second coming of Jesus and believe it's going to happen anytime. Then there's those that don't have any idea anything that's going on. And then there's this other group. It's like me. I think I'm kind of in this last group that doesn't really care. They don't really care if it's the end of days or not. I can look out the window and understand that today's the end of days for somebody. That's for sure. Going to be thousands and thousands, maybe probably millions of people all across America, across the world, going to enter into eternity today. And so that's why the Bible tells us that we're to work while the sun shines, because a day cometh when no man can work. That's what motivates me, not the rapture, not the soon coming king, none of that. What matters to me is what can I do here and now? And that's the greatest frustration. And my frustration remains great because I continue to say we shouldn't be losing. Right now, here and now, today, we shouldn't be losing. And, of course, we spend a lot of time there's Dr. Tenpenny, he made it in. But we look at pre-written history and try from that standpoint to figure out exactly what's going on and where we plug in and all that. And, boy, it's a ball of confusion. And as I see Dr. Tenpenny joins us, I can't believe, give me a thumbs up if you can hear me, Doc. I think, yeah, I can't believe you got up. Her, folks, when you deal with Dr. Tenpenny, she has an executive director, an administrator she go through. And she told me that her Dr. Tenpenny's schedule has been like nonstop for like forever. And Dr. Sherry, to think that you would get up this early in the morning to join us is really, really kind of humbling to us. And we have a lot of people who are really, really looking forward for you to be here and the opportunity to hear you. So, Dr. Sherry, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to just take about 10 minutes or whatever you want to do and just tell us exactly what's going on with this vaccination. And then I'd like to open it up to questions. There are a lot of people who never, ever get an opportunity to ask somebody like you questions. And rather than me hogging the microphone, as I always do, and walking all over my guests, I'm going to zip up my mouth and I'm going to invite people in. Is that good with you, Doc?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you great. You look.
I'm trying to figure out your screen here.
Yeah. Well, they're all over the place, aren't they? So what you want to do, Dr. Sherry, is, of course, I'm not looking at your screen. If you click on your name, if you find yourself there and hit pin, then you'll end up on the screen. Otherwise, don't be distracted by it, because I don't see what you see. Let's not waste time on that. Know this, that everyone in here can see you and hear you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's important. Well, good morning, everybody. And you have to know how much I love Dave to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do this.
Amen. Thank you, Doc.
Because I'm the type of person, I'd rather stay up 10 minutes later than night than get up 5 minutes early. I mean, morning is not my gig. I usually go to bed, as a general rule, somewhere between 1:30 and 2:30, and I generally get up somewhere between 7:30 and 8:30. So you have to know how much I love you, Dave, to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do this just for you and your audience.
Thank you. Seriously. Thank you, dear. These folks are all woke, Doc, so you're talking to a good crew this morning.
That's awesome. Well, I'm not so sure that I want to spend a whole lot of time talking. I think that we've got, you know, 50 minutes or so that maybe we should go straight to Q&A unless there's something specific you want me to talk about.
No, well, go ahead. So folks, raise your hand if you want to ask Dr. Sherry a question. But Dr. Sherry, I'm going to ask one that somebody already sent to me here already this morning.
That sounds good.
And that question is, most of our audience is aware of shedding.
But okay, let me stop you right there. It's not shedding.
Okay.
Okay. We've made a really big distinction between shedding and transmitting, and there's reasons for that.
Okay. So,
and I'm going to use the example of chickenpox vaccines. Okay, so chickenpox vaccine is a live virus vaccine. So if you are, and so is the shingles shot. So both of them are live virus vaccines. So if you get one of those, the viruses that are in that vaccine, which is really a vaccine, are attenuated or weakened. They get injected into your body, and a small subset of those will be reactivated and get to where they are virulent and can cause infection. So if I get the chickenpox shot or the shingles shot, and some of those become virulent again, and then I cough or sneeze or that, I literally shed those whole live viruses to the next person. If that person is susceptible, they then contract chickenpox. They don't get measles, they don't get mumps, they don't get the flu, they get chickenpox because that's a live virus that is shed to them. With these shots, what we've never identified the virus or isolated it in the first place. We know little pieces and parts of the virus, but it's not the whole virus. And what we are injecting by all four of the commonly used shots, here, for the sake of your discussion, we're only going to talk about three. We really won't talk about the AstraZeneca shot so much because it's not used here in the U.S. But what is injected into you is a piece of genetic material that is used to make a spike protein. That spike protein has at least 7 or 8 different ways that it can make you sick or kill you. That spike protein then induces an antibody to that spike protein because those proteins are foreign and they don't belong in your bloodstream. So that antibody, so that's the second part that happens. So we know that somebody, so what's happening is you're around someone who's had the shot, and please, everybody that's listening to this from here forward for the rest of this nonsense that's going on, please never, ever, 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 I want everybody's attention on this, please never call this a vaccine again, ever, because it's not a vaccine. It does not stop you from getting sick. It doesn't stop the transmission. It doesn't lower the incidence of illness, and it does not lower the incidence of hospitalization and death. By every definition, this is not a vaccine. The pharmaceutical industry co-opted that word because people are familiar with that word. And thoughts are things. Words have power, and definitions mean something. So everybody in the world is used to the word vaccine because we have a multi-generational indoctrination about it. And it has led the sheep to believe that this is just like another flu shot, which it's not, because they understand, they know flu vaccines, they know every year, pardon me.
That's all right.
They know every year that this is a big a push for the flu and flu shot. So what's happening is that if you get an injection, and please call them injections or shots, and if you hear the word vaccine coming out of your mouth, autocorrect it. Go, wait a minute, I didn't mean that. I need to change my vocabulary. What I really meant to say is the shot or the injection. We need to stop calling it a vaccine. And so, because wait a minute, you're perpetuating the myth when you do that. So when you're around people who have been injected, we are now seeing something is being transmitted to those other people. So we're calling it a transmission. And we're not exactly sure at this point in time what it is. If it is the spike protein, which is the biggest suspect of characters, the spike protein, if it's the messenger RNA that's still inside the lipid coating that comes with either the Pfizer or the Moderna shot, are you literally transmitting that lipid thing and that's causing illness in someone else? Are you transmitting a piece of double-stranded DNA that's inside of the Johnson & Johnson shot? Is that causing illness? Or more likely, there was an article that came out 2 days ago that is suggesting that this genetic material, particularly the J&J shot, because everybody wanted to go to the J&J shot after this came out because it was only one and everybody kind of learned about the messenger RNA and they didn't want that. And at the very beginning, I said, hold the phone because the J&J shot is going to turn out to be worse. And it is. Because what you're injecting is a piece of genetic material, double-stranded DNA, that almost automatically incorporates into your genetic material. Now, there was an article that came out a few days ago now, that said that when your personal genetic material is transformed, it changes frequencies. And there is a theory now, not proven yet, but a theory that what happens is the people that get injected, that double-stranded DNA and that spike protein goes into their genetic material, transforms it, and it becomes a broadcaster. So the 5G comes in with whatever frequency, whatever subliminal messages, whatever that energy is, it's coming into the person that has been injected, and that person becomes literally a transmitter and takes pieces of that embedded information on to the next person who has not been injected. Now, if you imagine if you're clean and you're pure and your God-given genetics are protected and you're surrounded by a bunch of people who are transmitters, what's happening with that transmission is that you're not getting COVID. And COVID is a respiratory infection that looks like the flu, cough, fever, shortness of breath, sometimes a rash, but it's primarily a respiratory illness. What's being transmitted to you is something that's disrupting your reproductive organs. In women, it's transmitting and reproducing or disrupting their ovaries, their menstrual cycles. We've got reports of people from senior citizens all the way down to infants that are bleeding. The senior citizens, postmenopausal women start to bleed. Women in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who have had their periods have been like clockwork their entire life are now bleeding all over the place. We even have an unconfirmed, but from a reliable source, of a 22-month-old little girl who started to bleed clots the size of small eggs after spending the weekend with her grandparents who had both been injected by this shot. So in men, we're seeing swollen testicles, we're seeing rashes across the scrotum, we're seeing men able to get an erection but unable to sustain it. And so what's transmitting is affecting their reproductive organs. You're not getting COVID, so it's not shedding. So the two things I want everybody of your audience to know and to remember and change from here forward, it's not shedding, it's transmission of something not good, and it's not a vaccine, it's a shot or an injection. Because the more people that hear that, the more they understand that this is something totally experimental, never been injected into human beings before. And somebody put up here about this being a sterilization. There's two things I want to say about that, three things actually. First of all, not only is it sterilization, it's sterilization, it's depopulation. We're taking out the old people from the top, but we have massive amounts of people who get these shots and die within 7 to 10 days or a little bit longer. And we're now adversely affecting people in their 40s and 50s. And if you are the globalist wanting to take out 2 to 3 billion people from the top, well, you don't want the pot being filled up from the bottom. So now you have to like take out those people of childbearing years. So now that the Pfizer shot has now just recently been approved for use in 12 to 15-year-olds. What happens in 12 to 15-year-olds? They go through puberty. There's no studies, zero, not even a couple of months worth of studies, that if you give this shot to little girls that have started their periods, do they stop? Or if you give it to little girls who have not started their period, do they ever start? We don't know. Nobody's looked at it. And if you give it to little boys that are 12 and they haven't started to go through puberty yet, do they ever? Do they start to develop muscles and body hair and facial hair and voice changes and grow and have a growth spurt? All of these things, is that going to happen to little boys? We don't know. Nobody's looked at it. And the third thing I want to say about that, so population from the bottom down, sterilization from the bottom up, because we don't know what's going to happen, that if you take girls and boys and suddenly you neuter them, Now, not only are you moving adults into the transhumanism movement, you're moving children into the transgender, gender neutral movement, which is all three of those things are exactly what they told us they were going to do.
Dr. Sherry, thanks for brightening my day. I was feeling pretty good till yeah, we got you on it. Now, let me go back to the original question then, Dr. Sherry. Can you protect yourself? What can we do?
We don't, the things that we are telling people that you need to do, because we're not exactly sure what this is yet, is that we've long been a big fan of ivermectin. We write a ton of ivermectin prescriptions. And anybody that's listening to this that is in the state of Ohio, and I'll tell you in a minute why we draw the line at the state of Ohio. If you're in the state of Ohio, you can call my office, my medical clinic, which is in Middleburg Heights, which is the suburb of Cleveland. You can call and you can make a phone appointment to that. We do a consultation with you on the phone. It's a telemedicine appointment. And then we can prescribe you either ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. Now, it can only be people, and I know you've got a broader audience than that, Dave, but only people in the state of Ohio, because the people in my license in my office are licensed to practice in the state of Ohio. And Ohio's telemedicine rules are kind of gray. They're not really clearly defined. And so we drew the line around the state of Ohio because Lord only knows I got enough targets on my back. I don't need to have them charging me for practicing medicine across state lines.
So Dr. Sherry,
wait. Okay. And so what's important is, so we're recommending both hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin as a protective mechanism, along with zinc, D, C, A, and quercetin. Because those are all the different things. So, and anything else that you personally like to take, which I don't want to get into a long discussion about what about this, what about that, but anything that you use to protect your immune system, medicinal mushrooms, turmeric, colloidal silver, I mean, whatever you already have in your armamentarium. But those are the core, vitamin D, C, A, zinc, and quercetin. And why hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin? Because they work by two different mechanisms of action. The hydroxychloroquine blocks the spike protein, and the ivermectin blocks the receptor that the spike protein binds to. So if anybody's listening out there from the FDA or from the powers that be, this is not an FDA-approved protocol. We don't have any proof, scientific laboratory proof about this, but just knowing the mechanisms of how they work, that's the best way. The other thing we've talked about is perhaps this is spread by contact. So when I'm going on an airplane later today, because I have to go speak in Sacramento tomorrow, it's a huge mega church. I wear long sleeves, long pants. I take my ivermectin and 20,000 units of vitamin D before I get on the plane. And then I trust God to protect me. That's it.
Amen. Dr. Sherry, what about ivermectin? You can get at Farm and Fleet.
I can't talk about that.
Okay.
I mean, I know that a lot of people.
I wouldn't be crazy if I did that, though, huh? If I didn't have anything else, I wouldn't be crazy to do that.
I can't say.
Okay.
Because I can't recommend animal products for human consumption. Now, do I know a lot of people that do that? I do. And what the dose is, if you want to calculate what the dose is, the human dose for ivermectin is 0.2 milligrams per kilogram. So you have to turn your body weight into kilograms, which you can find all kinds. You divide it by 2.2 is what you do. So if you're 100 pounds, you divide it by 2.2, and that's your kilograms. And then you take that times 0.2. So convert your body weight in pounds to kilograms, then multiply that times 0.2, and that's your dose once a week of ivermectin. Once a week is what we recommend. And then we're alternating the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin. So HCQ, ivermectin, HCQ, ivermectin, like that. And awesome. It's a once a week protocol. And so you pick a day that you know you can do consistently. I take mine on Sunday, so you just do it on Sunday morning. And then that's what you do for the week. And then you take your supplements every day.
Oh, man, Dr. Sherry, you're answering every question, and we haven't even gotten to the question. So listen, folks, I'm going to bring some of you in here. Not dissertations, okay?
Can you see my cup?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you see what it says?
I can't, but I will here in a minute.
What it says is on both sides, it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139:14.
Amen. We are.
So, yep. So this was the theme of my boot camp this fall, was this verse, because we talked about immune system and all the shot stuff and all these other things. So one of the students in my boot camp, she sent me this mug and a little thing of organic coffee. It was really cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Dr. Sherry, I'm going to run down the gamut here real quickly. And again, folks, short to the point so we can move through it. Jeff, come on in, then Vinny.
Yeah. One of my county commissioners is a doctor. And he's so brainwashed and indoctrinated. How would I speak to offer advice to give him the wake up?
Oh, good question.
Wait a minute. Wait, stop. Because I didn't hear the first part of that. Somebody in your congregation, is that what you said?
He's one of my county commissioners.
Oh, county commissioners. Okay.
He's a doctor.
I guess, you know, one of the things that we teach people to do in our boot camp course is when you present this information or any information that's challenging, let's put it that way, is the best way to present it is by presenting it in the form of a question. Have you investigated this? Do you have any, did you know that this is a totally experimental drug? Did you know that this is not FDA approved? And most doctors will go, yes, it is FDA approved. And you say, no, it's not. I think one of the things you're confusing is the FDA approval of a drug versus the FDA signing off on emergency use. Mm. The FDA signed off to use it in that all of these drugs are experimental, under emergency use only, no long-term studies. And did you know that these drug companies have zero, absolutely zero liability if anyone is injured by these shots? Amen. And then start the conversation from there. Like, and do your best, and it's not easy. Excuse me, but do your best to continually turn anything that you stop for like 2 seconds, and anything that you want to come out of your mouth as a statement of fact, turn it around and just present it as a question. Did you know this was totally experimental? Did you know? Do you know, doctor? Are you familiar with the VAERS database? And if they say no, you can say, well, the VAERS database collects vaccine injuries. It's been in place since 1986, and it's run by the government and monitored by the FDA. Did you know, doctor, that there were already 4,000 known deaths and 193,000 adverse events and injuries from these shots already in just the last 5 months? Did you have any idea about that? And so when you ask it as a question, you're pulling them into the conversation, as opposed to his facts versus your facts.
A great advice. Vinny from Brooklyn. Then Debbie.
Hey, Dr. Tenpenny. Lovely to have you this morning.
Thank you.
I just want to, can you tell people about the colossal bait and switch that they play with human chromosome 8?
No, I don't know much about that, because that's it's a supposition. It's not been proven. And what happens is when you get these shots, you know, the Pfizer and the Moderna shots, they are injecting 50 billion particles of messenger RNA coated with a fatty lipid and polyethylene glycol around the outside of it. And you do it twice.
Yeah.
So that's 100 billion particles of messenger RNA that makes a protein that can get inserted into your DNA randomly. Mm-hmm. And that is called insertional mutagenesis. The same thing with the double stranded DNA off of the J&J shot. It gets inserted randomly. So even though those genetic sequences seem to be the same as chromosome number 8, that's not where it starts. It can insert anywhere and cause any sort of disruption long term.
Debbie, come on in. Debbie Perkins. Then Dale will be after her. Go ahead, Deb.
Good morning. I have been a victim of the transmission, and I'll be 70 in August and started a period. And I know it's probably, I took a lot of flying trips altogether. And then when I mentioned it to my friends, they started confessing to me that they had taken the shot, which they had not told me before. So my physician stopped it with increased doses of progesterone that I take, a compound. But what should I do now?
Well, I think that the progesterone, whoever your physician was, kudos to them. Because, I mean, that's really what needs to be done. Because what's happening with this bleeding is that it's tearing off the inside lining of the uterus is what we can best by these things called, deciduous casts. CASTS, decidual CAS. And one of the things that has been supposed about this, again, remember, I want to back up one step, Debbie, and then I really, then I'll finish the answer to your question, which is a very good question. We started talking about this. There's a group of us. We've started calling ourselves the five doctors. So it's me, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. Carrie Madej, and Dr. Lee Merritt. So we kind of hang together because we figure if we hang together, we won't hang individually, okay? And we've started doing like these conversations together. And we were the ones that started this whole discussion. And it was actually me who came up with this idea to separate between shedding and transmission. That makes a whole lot of sense. Yes. And we started it because we had on a simple little Instagram page, we had collected more than 11,000 stories of women of all ages going through what you're doing. And so a lot of people, so we wanted to get this out and start talking about it. That was 4 weeks ago today. So we don't know a lot about this yet. It's new and we're still trying to figure it out. But when one of the articles that I read said that they thought that whatever this transmission was that was affecting reproductive organs in women, it was dropping their estrogen levels so low and so quickly that the inside lining of the uterus thought that it was going into labor and it's starting to shed. Mm. And so that blood bleeding that's bleeding from the inside of your uterus, of course, you know, at 70 years old, I mean, you haven't had cycles in a long time, but you do have some residual blood inside of your uterus because it's a living organ. And so that shedding of that tissue and that blood, the progesterone is probably the very best thing that you can do. I would also say that adding in some iodine is probably a good idea, because iodine protects all of your cells from all kinds of things. So either nascent iodine, there's a lot of natural types of iodines, or just increase iodine types of food in your diet. But I think those two things are really good. So whoever your physician was, that was really smart. The other thing that I want to ask you to do, and anybody else that's listening to this, is to write this down. I don't believe that that's true. Somebody just said if you take progesterone for too long, it causes uterine cancer or ovarian cancer. I don't believe that that's true. It may have some stimulations in terms of messing up your entire hormonal system if you're taking it at 70 that you don't need to. But causing cancer, that's a pretty strong statement, and I probably wouldn't say it like that. One of the things I want you to do, and anybody else that you know, is please pass this website on. The name of the website is mycyclestory.com. It's pretty easy to remember. This is where we are out actually talking about your cycle story. So this is where we're collecting data, collecting stories, and then we've got some pretty bright people that are going to start getting this information out. And we've got some really big platforms that are coming online. Like I'm going to be starting on June the 3rd. I'm going to be starting a television show with WVW.TV, which is Worldview Weekend with Brandon Howe. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to be starting, that's going to also broadcast on the Lindell Network. So that's out to millions of people. I just had a conversation day before yesterday with Mike Lindell. I had a 3-hour conversation with him. I did 2 interviews with him, and then we stood online for a while and talked about some things that I think your audience might like to know, Dave, is that I asked him straight out in the interview I did with him, because he's talking about, you know, he's good friends with President Trump. I mean, literally friends. I mean, they get on the phone and they chat like buddies, right? Mm-hmm. So I asked him if he had ever had the conversation with President Trump about these shots. I said, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of people out here that are mega supporters that are not very happy with the position he's taken on this Operation Warp Speed and all these other things. And he said, no, I've never had that conversation with him. Wow. So what he said, so I really don't know where he stands on that. Now, Mike Lindell is strongly on our side about no shots. So after the conversation, I gave him the Dr. Sherry Tembany crash course on COVID shots. And Mike's a great talker, but he's not a very good listener. So I had to like give it to him in sound bites as fast as I could, like rapid submachine gun getting it out. And he really did listen. And then he said, I had no idea. Can you send me some information? I will deliver that personally to President Trump. So after the conversation, I put some things directly into his hands. And Brandon Howes, who's really close with Mike Lindell, is going to also help me get some really important things into Trump's hand. So this might be the first time since all this stuff has started that we could actually get real information to our president. And the other thing that I said to him was, I said, Mike, if I had 5 minutes with the president, what I would tell him about this shot stuff is just shut up. Don't say anything about it. You know, you talked about all the stuff you did before the election, because in all honesty, there's really a pretty small contingent of us out here, like your group here, Dave, that is awake about these shots. Either it's Christians, there's all kinds of people who think this is God's gift to the planet and praising the scientists who came up with these things.
Yes.
So before the election, I understand, President Trump, that you were trying to get votes. But now that this is over and we're seeing the devastation that these shots are causing, shut the heck up. Because as these people start dying in the fall, which I'm telling you they're going to, the blood's going to be on your hands and the left is going to have a heyday with it.
So Sherry, you think they will start dying in the fall? You think we're actually seeing
that? I've been saying that I said when this started, I mean, the Moderna and the Pfizer shot, they started using it in December. The J&J shot came out end of January, first part of February. And I've been in contact with some European immunologists who are really smart. And they all said these are real, like, immunologists, laboratory-based immunologists. And they said it takes 4 to 5 months from the time you get your last injection. So either from the time you get your one J&J or your two of the other ones, it takes 4 to 5 months for your body to develop the spike protein and the antibody and the immune system destruction that happens. So if you don't die immediately from a heart attack, stroke, or anaphylactic shock, it takes 4 to 5 months to develop this autoimmune reaction that's happening. And what's going to happen, in my opinion, and I've talked to a lot of people who agree with me, is that, and they're already starting it, that come this fall, there's going to be a huge push for people to get a flu shot. And they're already starting it. It's May. And they're going, oh, this is going to be the worst flu season ever. You know, they're already starting to ramp up the production of flu shots so that you can get your flu shot early because it's going to be the worst one ever. And, oh, those mutants that we're finding, oh, by the way, are being caused by the people who were injected. You know, oh, we got to do something about that because the third wave's coming. Well, when they get that flu shot that has coronavirus in it, all of them do. They're made from either dog kidney cells or from chickens, and coronaviruses are endemic in dogs and chickens. They get that flu shot. The combination of the coronavirus shot and the flu shot, I think, is going to cause autoimmune reactions, multi-organ system failure, septic shock. It's going to attack their lungs and the stupid doctors. And I have zero tolerance for physicians that won't look at this. And I mean zero. The two groups of people I have less than zero tolerance for these days, number one is the medical dummies out there that refuse to look at it, and snowflakes. I don't care about snowflakes.
How about pastors?
Well, there's the third group. Yes, you're absolutely right. But I think this fall, when we start seeing people get flu shots, you know, and here's an article that came out from Sage last week, Dave. Sage is the modeling agency in the UK. They're the ones who are like talking all the charts and graphs and flattening the curves and all this other stuff. And Sage, the best way to describe Sage, even though it's an independent agency, would be like would be the equivalent of a subdivision inside of the UK equivalent of the CDC. So they're all grouped in together. And they came out with an article that in pretty clear language says, in paragraph number 32, I think I've got it bookmarked up here. I can drop it into your thing. It says pretty clearly, if you have had, here's the link. If you have had two or more of these shots, I'll just read it. It's paragraph 32. Give me 1 second. It says, the resurgence of hospitalizations and deaths will be dominated by those who received two doses of the vaccine, comprising about 60 to 70% of the population. Mm. This can be attributed to the high level of uptake in that age group, such as vaccine failures account for more serious illness in unvaccinated individuals. Well, they're vaccine failures, they still mean that they've been injected. They have the spike protein in the antibody. And it says, well, we'll discuss this further in paragraph 55. So what does it say down here in paragraph 55? This diagram illustrates the age and vaccination status of those hospitalized and dying. These plots are absolute numbers, and bottom plots are proportional to those admitted than dying. This shows that most deaths and admissions in the resurgence or in the third wave have received two vaccine doses. Most deaths and hospital admissions in the third wave have received two vaccine doses. So all of those people that have gotten the shots were more than deceived, Dave. They're set up to be picked off. So not only like when I started saying all the people in the elderly that have already been dying in the tens of thousands, and they said, oh, it's just a stroke. Oh, it's just a heart attack. Oh, it's just old age. Now we're talking about the deceived people in the 30 to 60-year-old age group that got these shots. Because here's what's happened. They've been trying to develop a coronavirus vaccine since 2002, ever since SARS. And every time that they did this, from 2003 and 4, all the way up to, I think the most recent paper I read was in 2019, that when you inject this shot, or a real coronavirus vaccine, that they inject the coronavirus, they get a really high antibody response. And researchers go, that's good. Now let's see if that high antibody response keeps those animals from getting sick when they get re-exposed to coronaviruses, because that's how a vaccine is supposed to work. I get a flu shot. When I get exposed to the flu, I don't get the flu. So in this, when they got the coronavirus shot, they got the high antibody response. Re-exposed to coronaviruses, all the animals died by a process called antibody-dependent enhancement. So all of the human beings that got these shots and have that antibody response in the fall, when they get re-exposed to coronaviruses, because they will, because coronaviruses have been around for at least 60 years, and we know there's at least four types of garden variety influenza or garden variety coronaviruses that had caused up to 20% of influenza-like illness every single year. So when the third wave is just flu season, we'll start seeing coronaviruses. Those people who have had this shot, any of the four, J&J, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, or Moderna, have an antibody response. When they get re-exposed, they're going to go through this process called antibody-dependent enhancement through and that virus is going to be attacked by that loosely bound antibody, dragged inside the cell, released, and start to replicate. And you're going to see multi-organ system failure, septic shock, all kinds of lung conditions that the doctors are going to treat with a ventilator, which is the worst thing that you can happen with people, because it's not a lung disease, it's a blood disease. So that's a long-winded explanation to your question. Do I think we're going to see this in the fall? I absolutely do.
Okay, so Dr. Sherry, if you could, folks, get a pencil and paper. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to get a pencil and paper. So Dr. Sherry, if you could, give us that prophylactic formula again of what people should be taking.
The supplements you should be taking are zinc, at least 25 milligrams a day. You know, most people take zinc with copper, and if it's 25 milligrams of zinc, it's 1 milligram of copper. You should get your vitamin D level tested. Get your vitamin D level tested. I've been saying since March of 2020, if you're going to run out and get anything tested, don't get a PCR test. Go out and get a vitamin D test. And your vitamin D level should be somewhere between 80 and 120. The Indonesians have shown that if you have a vitamin D level of greater than 30, this is important, a vitamin D level greater than 30, you have less than a 4% risk of developing COVID and ending up in the intensive care unit. So all of those people that were dying of COVID, of the 6% that did, does anybody have any idea what their vitamin D level was? No, because the doctors even refused to run it when they're in the hospital. It's called malpractice. So vitamin D level, and most people are on around 5,000 IUs of vitamin D and about 180 micrograms of vitamin K, unless, of course, you're on Coumadin. The other thing you should take is vitamin A, about 20,000 IUs per day, vitamin C, and the best form of vitamin C is not ascorbic acid, but vitamin C ascorbate, A-S-C-O-R-B-A-T-E-S, vitamin C ascorbates, and the best form of that is a powdered form because you can easily dose it in from children all the way up to elderly, and because it's powdered, you're going to get almost 100% absorption. So vitamin B, C ascorbates at least 3,000 milligrams a day, 3,000 milligrams a day. And then quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, 500 milligrams a day. Now, if you start to get sick, sore throat, little bit of fever, achy stuff, we don't know if that's influenza A, influenza B, if it's corona. We don't really know what it is. Double all of those doses until you start feeling better, which should be in about 3 to 5 days. Yes, this is preventive for COVID. And then if you get the infection, remember what COVID is. We've gotten really lazy about using the word COVID. We use it as a noun, as a verb, as an adjective. We've got really lazy about it. Because remember, thoughts are things, words have power, and definitions mean something. So we've gotten really lazy about that thing. And so, no, I'm not going to text it. Maybe somebody will text it, but I'm not going to. And so COVID is really a complex of symptoms. Fever, cough, fever and chills in probably 80 to 90% of people, loss of taste and smell, which is a neurological complication. And so that is, one of these things that you have to do these symptoms or these supplements for. So you take that as a prevention. If you start getting sick, then you double it for anywhere from 3 to 5 days or until you start feeling better. Then you go back to baseline. And then we're also recommending ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, alternating as a prevention every other week. I think the ivermectin is, Dave, I've said from the beginning of this, we need to be taking the fluoride out of the water and putting ivermectin in it. It's the best thing. It has no side effects. The only contraindication to ivermectin is taking Coumadin. And one of the reasons they say that is because if you're on Coumadin, it starts to make the Coumadin work better, which means you start to get bruising and things like that, and you really have to monitor your INRs if you're on Coumadin. So the three contraindications for ivermectin: pregnant, breastfeeding, and if you're on Coumadin.
What about Eliquis?
That's okay. So and it's amazing how safe this drug is. It doesn't interact with any other drug. You can take it if you're on chemotherapy as a prevention. You can take it if you're actively in cancer treatment. You can take it if you've recovered from cancer. You can take, we've had, we're actually working with a compounding. Now we kind of say down to about 5 years of age, is where we kind of draw the line in our office, but we're working with a compounding pharmacy here in Cleveland to see if we can't get that dose, that 0.2 milligrams per kilogram, into either a liquid or a chewable down to maybe 2 years of age. But here's the thing, kids don't get this infection. Everybody's all wigged out about how do I protect my kids? Well, kids don't get COVID. We've known that from the beginning, and that's Rand Paul has taken Fauci over the coals multiple times over this. So I'm not even sure that giving it to kids is important. That's why giving them this shot is not important. We know that the reinfection rate, this is an important number for people who have had COVID. I had COVID like in the fall, it was like September of 2019 before this even got started, because I was in Europe at the time. And that was when everything was kicking up in Northern Italy. And I was in Greece. And so I think there was a lot of whatever was going on. I got it. Oh, man, talk about sick for like 2 weeks. Ooh. And then that cough lasted for a really long time. And the worst part about the whole thing was is that I was in Europe and I only had a small set of what my normal tools would have been. So, you know, if I'd have been home, I'd have recovered faster. But it was pretty rough. And so the reinfection rate. So people that have had COVID, the chance of you getting COVID again, and this was done on a study of 34,000 people, the risk of being reinfected is 0.3%.
So if you've had it,
so it's almost negligible. Now, that's really getting sick with the COVID infection. That is a whole different animal than this transmission stuff we're talking about.
So the transmission is actually creating something entirely different. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So I think that even if you've had the COVID infection, I think it's prudent to at the very least be on ivermectin. And if you have a big exposure, like if you're in the healthcare industry or you're a paramedic or you're a school teacher because you're around all them other people that have been infected or been injected, then perhaps this protocol of the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine is protective. Now, we don't have any proof of that. I'm just saying it, and the other five doctors and I are just saying, you don't take Coumadin. If you're on Coumadin, you can't take ivermectin. And Coumadin is a blood thinner. And so, so we don't have any proof of it. The five doctors and I, we're all talking about it, and this is subject to change. And if we find any big, revelations that come up, Dave, I'll let you know, and I'll struggle. I'll get back up at 6 o'clock in the morning for you, babe.
So I got a million people want to ask you questions, and I said I wouldn't, but I have another one because I think this is critical, Dr. Sherry. What do we do? One of the hardest things about sharing your information is we come across people who've already had this shot. What do we say to those who've already had the shot, Sherry?
Get on your knees and ask for forgiveness. And ask the Lord, stand on Mark 16, Mark, I believe it's Mark 16, verses 16 and 18, that you can lay hands on them and heal them.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because we don't have anything to reverse this, Dave. Once you've had this shot, you have chosen to kneel to the pharmaceutical industry, turn your back on God. And you're taking a product made by people who want to kill you, and they say it openly, there's too many people on the planet, we need to get rid of them, to take a product created by those same people that somehow that's supposed to protect you from a virus that has a 1% death rate. You have chosen to walk in fear over faith. You need forgiveness. And you need to have somebody lay their hands on you and heal you.
Folks,
and we have no proof that that's even, we don't even know that that's going to work. Because there are plenty of times when God says in the Bible, once you turn your back on me, like blatantly, like what this shot has done to people, you have defiled the temple irreversibly.
Amen. Folks, listen, a quick plug here, CoachDaveLive.com. We just posted a video of Dr. Stella, the black doctor from South Africa. And she's saying the very same thing, that this thing can only be cast out. This is verified by Dr. Stella. This thing is it's unchangeable. And the only thing you can do is repent and ask.
And hope that it happens. I mean, listen to about Dave, think about this as the mark of the beast, man. Think about if this isn't it, there are 160 shots. 160 COVID shots in the developmental pipeline right now, 160. What else are they wanting to inject and transform us with? Mm. They're moving adults into the transhumanism movement, cooking us up to the cloud, wanting us to get into the cashless society. They want us to be hooked up to China's social credit system. So what goes up comes down. If now they're trying to turn our children into neutered, transgendered children, this is satanic. And you
devil,
people,
folks.
Listen, this is the fourth category of people I don't have much tolerance with, Dave, is A, pastors, B, lame doctors, C, snowflakes, and D, people who bowed to fear instead of putting their fear at the foot of the cross and asking, saying, Lord, Forgive me for allowing that spirit of fear to be impregnated into my body by that black box over there and those bunch of people called mainstream media. Lord, forgive me. And I know that you protect me, that my days were numbered on this planet before I even got here. I'm going to die someday of COVID, being run over by a bus, or 90 years old asleep in my bed. I'm not going to die 1 minute sooner than what you have in store for me. And so I'm not taking this shot because of peer pressure, to keep my job, for convenience of getting on an airplane. I'm standing on the word of God, and let the other chips, the secular chips, fall where they may. So when you talk to those people, the only thing that, in my opinion, and with Scott Kesterson of Bards FM, Scott and I are really good friends, and we talk all the time, and we're actually promoting a couple things. You know, if you guys aren't following Bards FM, you need to do that. I mean, you need to do it on podcast. It's B-A-R-D-S, B as in boy, A-R-D-S FM. On Podbean. And you can also follow my podcast. And we just posted up, if you go to the drtenpenny.com, at the top of the page where it says podcasts, right there at the second button. And if you scroll down and you go to the Tenpenny Files, right at the very, very top, and you go there and you will see, scroll down, keep going. Scroll down one more time, right there. Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P, our special event. We did that when we talked about COVID shots and infertility. And what that's going to give you a ton of information, and it will actually, what that's going to tell you, a lot of the things that we talked about. So if you want to listen to it again from all five doctors. And Dr. Lee Merritt talks an awful lot about, she starts her part of her conversation by saying, if you don't understand that this is an intentional bioweapon, and this is biological warfare on all of humanity, then you're sorely mistaken. It's not a vaccine. It's not going to keep you from getting sick. It's not going to keep you from being hospitalized. And oh, by the way, you have permanently and irreversibly transformed your genetics. And at this point in time, as we're having this conversation today, there ain't nothing to reverse it except, hopefully, God's forgiveness of your sin.
Well, Sherry, again, I'm not going to have time to run down through all these people. Is it the government, the CDC, whoever? Are they actively trying to silence you guys, Dr. Sherry? Because I know there are a bunch of doctors, scientists in your corner, in your network. Are they having a hard time getting the truth out?
Well, we're having a hard time getting the truth out because of the censorship on social media. And so that's why all of us have been doing having interviews with like Scott Kesterson on Bards FM. He's had over 10 million downloads on his Podbean category. So, and he's on a bunch of different platforms, but just on Podbean alone, he's had over 10 million downloads. And oh, by the way, we are planning the largest Christian revival ever to happen in America, maybe in the world, called Bards Fest. Just outside of St. Louis, mark your calendars. It's August 26th to the 29th. We're firming up some of the things that are going to be in terms of speakers and things like that in the next couple of days. We've already signed the contracts. I'm helping Scott promote it. I'm going to be a big speaker there. It's going to be praise, prayer, and fun. That's what we're going to do. It's in St. Charles, Missouri, which is just west of St. Louis, August 26th. To the 29th. It'll start in the afternoon or the evening of the 26th, which is a Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and we'll end Sunday around noon with the biggest prayer, singing, hymns that you've ever heard. It just gives me chills thinking about some of the things that I know we have planned. So mark your calendars, follow me on my podcast, follow Scott on his podcast, and you'll get all the information of stuff that's going on.
Dr. Sherry, excuse me, I want to bring Larry in. His wife is battling leukemia, and he has an important question for you. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, yes, she's 73, and I, every time she goes to the bathroom, every time she urinates, I have to empty her little bedside potty thing and everything. And I noticed a couple of days ago that it started, it looked almost black a couple of times. Was this possibly her having a period? And if the period is instigated in older women from from receiving the not the shedding you said, but the broadcast, whatever it is, the transmission from those that have had the virus, the injection. Does that behave kind of like a normal period? It only happens every, you know, every month or something like that, or is it something that just comes willy nilly?
For what we can see right now, again, this has been going on for 4 weeks, so we don't know what it looks like long term. It looks like it's pretty much I can't even say that because I'm just thinking through some of the case reports that we've had. Some women have really irregular, wonky periods. Some, and I think those are probably women who are still in their menstrual years. Some people have a one-time big bleeding episode. Some women have bled so much that they've lost two-thirds of their blood volume. I mean, normal hemoglobin is 12, and some women have bled down to like a hemoglobin of 4 and had to be hospitalized for that, which is really scary because we're quite concerned about the blood supply being tainted.
My goodness. This just goes everywhere, everywhere. Folks, we just got just a couple minutes left, and I appreciate Dr. Sherry joining us again. Dr. Sherry, just real quickly again, for people tuning in all the time, folks, listen, please share this video. This we posted at CoachDaveLive.com. Roger, if you can turn that off, we're getting some feedback. Thank you, brother. Just share this because, listen, we all have friends, people that we really, really love, we're really, really concerned about, who have taken the vaccination, the jab.
The shot.
The shot. Thank you. I caught it myself, didn't know what to say. They've taken the shot. Folks, these are the hardest people to share with because really what the information that you're giving to them isn't very good information. It isn't. But
I wish that I could have come on this morning, Dave, and said, guess what? All that stuff I've been talking about the last 14 months, the 460 interviews more that I've done in the last 14 months, it's great historical data. But we're moving past that. We found a solution, and it's all better. Maybe the next time I talk to you, maybe that's true. I know there's lots of people that are working on things furiously behind the scenes. Hopefully that we'll be able to come up with something. But honestly, each layer of this that we're going through is just, it's the mark of the beast. You know, when this first started, Dave, I said, back in March of 2020, I said, this is Satan's last hurrah. I mean, we're working as hard as we can to get people saved and pulled into the ark. And he's working equally as hard to pull people into his den. Amen. And this is Satan's last hurrah, at least at this point in time in history. Now, do we know when the Lord's coming back? No, only God knows. Jesus himself didn't know. But Jesus said, you will know by the signs.
Amen.
And so the most important thing that all of you guys can do here, in addition to sharing this information, is this is one of the things I do with people. I do this with patients in my office, Dave. You know, when they come in and they're all fear-based and they're all wrapped up in their fear, I'll say, you know what? I understand that you're fearful. I don't quite understand why, because the facts lead in a different direction. But the most important question I want to ask you is your heart right with God? And where do you stand with Jesus Christ? And I don't much care if you're Jewish or Muslim or atheist or agnostic. My job is to sow the gospel of Christ as a Christian. And in these days, it doesn't matter what I say about ivermectin, zinc, you know, vitamin C. What I needed to ask you about is, where do you stand with the Lord? And that is the most important thing. And if people go, well, I'm really a Christian. Really? And you're going to take the shot and you're all bundled up in fear? Really, maybe you ought to spend some time in the Word and figure out where that's all about. Maybe you ought to look yourself eyeball to eyeball in the mirror and say, where is my heart with the Lord? You know, because a lot of Christians give a lot of lip service to saying, yeah, I'm Christian. Really? Your behavior doesn't quite go along with that, particularly your fear-based nonsense. No tolerance for snowflakes, Dave. No tolerance.
Yeah, folks. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Folks, listen, as we close out here, I'm going to ask all of you to put her on your prayer list. Cover her, because I've got to believe there's a lot of nefarious forces out there that would love to shut her mouth. And we know what importance she's doing for the body of Christ. And Dr. Sherry, I'm honored you'd get up early this morning with us to do this.
I love you, Dave.
Yeah, catch a nap some other time. Real quick, plug your little podcast that you do as well, Dr. Sherry.
You can find everything that we do on this website that Dave has up here on drtenpenny.com. It's dr no period tenpenny.com, because sometimes people type it in, you know, with a period, and then we get this whole rash of emails going, your website's down, you've been hacked. It's just dr, no period, tenpenny.com. And as you can see across the toolbar at the top, you can access our podcasts, you can access our store, our supplement store that's there, under education, you can access our boot camp and vaccine you and all the things that are there. There's a long list of all of our social media connections. Get Healthy is other various types of educational things that we do.
And if you're in Ohio, you can call her office, and she'll take care of you over the phone, right,
Dr. And you can find my clinic underneath the Get Healthy. You can see where that is. Then you can read my CV. There's a whole bunch of, like, the best interviews that I've done that are there. But the podcast is where it's at. And Dave, I'll have to say I'm a little bit proud of my podcast, man. I started the podcast on February 8th, and I've already had almost 350,000 downloads in 3 months.
Awesome. You're a hot item, Doc.
That's why
we're honored you're here. You know, you've been laboring a long time. Dr. Sherry, we're over time, but just bear with me. You've been at the forefront of vaccines for how long, Doc? How long have you been talking
Almost 21 years.
So you're not some Johnny come lately. You've been warning people for 21 years about the dangers of vaccinations.
Yep.
And they've just conditioned us to take them, haven't they? Just take it. Sherry. Religious leaders, Billy Graham, Robert Jeffress. I can't believe some of these guys that are promoting this vaccination.
Think about what their life review is going to look like when they stand before the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Sherry, God bless you. Thanks for getting up. And if you hang in there.
Close us out with a prayer, Dave. We got to
right,
close.
Yes, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we are alive here at such a time as this, Lord. I thank you for Dr. Tenpenny. I thank you for the network of brave, courageous doctors and scientists who are pushing back against the forces of darkness, Lord. We thank you that our very steps have been ordered by you and your delight in our way, Father. We thank you that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end result of is death, Lord. Help us to spread this message, spread this word. Let an anointing to be upon our friend, Dr. Sherry, Lord. Open up doors that she might speak to the multitudes about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the chance to be here today to defend your truth, to speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right.